All right. So I wanted to go back to a topic that we started on last time because I saw some additional items on it that I think are worth noting. So I'm coming back to the question of when the 7 days end. By the way, just I had a chance to actually ask somebody. We had talked about last time the question of when they begin and what if your chuppah is pre-shkia and your meal is post-shkia. So I asked Shai Berglass what they were told to do, because that's what happened with the Hilagam Harry. So he said, yeah, they told him that he should count day one as the chuppah. In other words, the chuppah was Sunday before Shkia, so Sunday was the first one, and therefore the Shavuot ended on Shabbos, even though the meal was Sunday night. Well, you get the idea.
That's what we said last week.
Which is what we had said, yeah. Unless you have that situation that the Rush talks about, where they actually travel somewhere else for their meal, where the chuppah has no meal associated with it at all. That was this odd situation.
So now, here the chuppah has a meal associated with it, but because we're in the same building, we still count the meals the next day?
Correct. The chuppah counts as simcha because you know you're having a meal afterwards, apparently.
So then shouldn't it be the same day?
No, because then the chuppah is what's going to count. The chuppah becomes day one as a result. That's the idea. Yeah.
Now, do you still say under those circumstances, shesimcha b'ma'ona? Because the Gemara there says, apushe simcha b'alma barchi. And if you have time for nachos,
yeah.
So at such a meal, even though you pass the time, because you
correct.
Have
you will not. You view it as having for nachos anyway.
Okay.
That is correct. Okay. And the last bit that we had done last time, which I wanted to resume with, is the question of ending the 7 days, and do you say Sheva Brachos if the meal runs into Motzai the seventh? Now, this is a sensitive situation because I have somebody here who had this happen at a Sheva Brachos. The meal on the seventh day of Sheva Brachos started during the day and then ended after the 7 days were over. So, without saying who it is. So a lot depends on how closely I tie Sheva Brachos to the Seuda. We saw last time the position of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, which is source Gimel on your sheets, where he says, commenting on Zayin Yemei Amishta, Nechta v'tzidau afilo ima se'uda achar chatzi hayom de'ashvi'i. Even if the meal is in the second half, meaning the afternoon of the seventh day, that's fine. V'imlo birich birchas hamazon ad shechashecha. But if they didn't bench until dark, even if you finished eating during the day, he says you don't do Sheva Brachos. That's Rabbi Akiva Eiger. It's a classic Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He says you don't do the Brachos. And he quotes the Ginas Varadim. So
you finish eating during the day, but you haven't benched at Shkia, and still don't do them.
Correct. You do not do Sheva Brachos. Correct. So, lo and behold, I found someone who quoted the Ginas Varadim. It's not so easy to get a hold of. But this is the Ginas Varadim's argument. It's source valid. He says, "Ve'ad kan lo ifligua post gimi yazlina basar tchila seuda o basar gemar seuda." He's talking about Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. So, Ritzei Yala B'Yavo. He says, there we don't have any machlokas as to whether you go with the beginning of the meal or the end of the meal. Ela in Hazkara Bilvad. She'ein Shamat Be'ya Bracha Michudash. He says, those cases are cases of Hazkara. In other words, you're mentioning Shabbos. You're mentioning Rosh Chodesh, but you don't create a bracha for that purpose. They're just thrown into existing brachos. And therefore, I'm willing to say, go with the beginning of your meal. However, but when you have a new bracha, like in the Sheva Brachos case, it's more strict. He says the debate that they're going to have is regarding Ritzei Alaviyavo, it's an Azkara. That's where there's going to be a machlokas. However, in our case, there's no machlokas because it's a brand new bracha. Therefore, you do not say Sheva Brachos. That's his argument. Rav Shlomo Kluger gives a similar argument in Source Hay. He says, "Ladati adavar pashut she'ain mevarching." He says, "Obvious, no bracha." De'eno doma la'azkar Shabbos v'yom tov v'birkas hamazon. This is not like mentioning Shabbos or Yom Tov in benching. Kevin de birkas hamazon akar kafta de pas munach. Because he says benching is about the bread you ate, right? V'chol hecha she'ochel pas nischay v'birkas hamazon. You eat bread, you have to bench. So the moment you ate your bread, which was during the day, you became obligated in benching. And therefore, saying Yalaviyavo. Since you became obligated in it, then granted now a new day begins. You don't lose your chiyuv. In other words, let's pretend Shabbos ends at 7 o'clock, right? At 6:30, I start my meal. That's after Shkia, so that's not a good thing. I started my meal at 5:30. At 5:31, I became obligated in Birkas Hamazon with Ritzei. That's what he's suggesting. So at 7 o'clock, I don't stop becoming obligated to bench. I don't stop becoming obligated to say Ritzei. My obligation to say Ritzei began when I first had bread. That's his idea, which is, I think, a fairly straightforward idea. I mean, you could argue that it's not true. You could argue that it's only when you finish eating that you're chayiv and benching because of the savata or something along those lines. But that's what he's suggesting. Aval sheva bracha shel chasan lo chalal avachiyuv rak b'sha'a zu shemavarech birkas hamazon. But he says sheva brachos isn't about when you started your meal. Your obligation in sheva brachos only comes about when you bench. Why? Dehare lava pas gorim. Because he says it's not about the bread. Why? Gorim kein, I should say. She'im yahaya so'ed kol hayom b'li panam chadashos eino chayv levarech sheva brachos. Because he says if you ate all day long, but you didn't have panam chadashos there, you wouldn't make sheva brachos. So he says it's not really tied to your meal in the way that benching is. Yes, you could argue this point. Yes, we will argue this point. But that's his statement. A third attack is brought by Rav Wozner in the Shevet Halevi, in Source Vav. He says, "Vehine sefer ginas v'radim hanal lo ra'isi." He says, "I don't have a ginas v'radim at hand. Nor does he have evidently net access." Aval hatam nira pashut delo mevaya imneima kedas haposkim da didamka le'inyan Shabbos as linan basar hatchala. He says it appears obvious that we won't even ask this question if we say, like the poskim who say that regarding Shabbos, meaning ritzei, you follow the beginning of the meal. Ritzei as well as sheva brachos. Kevin the ika mitzvah lahosif for Shabbos. There's a mitzvah of adding to the day, Tosefa Shabbos. In Kain, Gam B'Shas Birkas Hamazon, Adayin Kedusha Shabbos Kayemes. So there's still a Kedusha of Shabbos whenever it is that you bench, assuming you didn't daven Ma'ariv in the middle of your meal. In Kain, Sheva Brachos Bechol Al Kopanim Lo Dami Lizeh. He says if you do Sheva Brachos on a Wednesday, we didn't discuss yet where your last meal of Sheva Brachos is on Shabbos, we have to get to that. But he says if you're doing your last meal of Sheva Brachos and it's a Wednesday, Al Kopanim Lo Dami Lizeh. That's not like that. There is no extension of Wednesday into Wednesday night Thursday. Upshita de lo yivarech, of course you don't make the bracha. He says Shabbos has tosefes to it. Mikol makom, and then he said, well, what am I going to do about Rosh Chodesh? Right? Rosh Chodesh is no mitzvah tosefes Rosh Chodesh, we think. So he says, gam im neima kedas haposkim v'gam le'inyan Rosh Chodesh v'lekon mitzvah behosafa az linan basar hatchala. He says, even if you're going to tell me, well, Rosh Chodesh, there is no mitzvah tosefes Rosh Chodesh. And yet, we say, go with the beginning of the meal for Yalla V'Yavo, at least according to certain people. He says, still, Yalla V'Yavo is part of benching. Which, he says, he says, benching is tied to the meal, which started during the day, like Rav Shlomo Kluger's point. So you also have to do Yalla V'Yavo. He says, Sheva Brachos, this is a new point, he says, Sheva Brachos is not about benching. The Ne'emar Malkos Bifnei Atzmo, it has its own kos, right? When you do Sheva Brachos, you have one cup that's your Bar Piyagafen cup for the benching, and you have one cup that's your Sheva Brachos cup, and then we play the mix and match game. But the fundamental point that he makes is that Sheva Brachos is not to be viewed as part of Birkas Hamazon. So, three different statements. The Ginas Varadim's statement is Ritzei and Yalla V'Yavo are not new brachos, so don't learn from them. Rav Shlomo Kluger adds that Ritzei and Yalla V'Yavo are a function of eating. Sheva brachos is something else because it requires panim chadashos. And then the Shevet Halevi, who throws in two extra points. Number one, that the start of Shabbos is different because Shabbos has Tosefa Shabbos. And number two, that the Sheva brachos really aren't about benching. They're a unique, separate thing.
Doesn't the second explanation kind of defeat the first explanation? Once he acknowledges that Rosh Chodesh there is no Tosefes, then why bother saying anything about
Shabbos? Yeah, I'm not really clear. Except if you're going to say that maybe he's going to paskin one way for Ritzei and one way for Yalla V'Yavo. The Yalkut Yosef also, he doesn't add any points on the logic, so I didn't bring him here, but the Yalkut Yosef in his Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer Yud Zayin notes Yud Gimel Yud Dalet also says don't do Shema Brachos after Shkia. The major opposition to this comes from the Ezer Mikodesh. We already saw it last week, so I'm not going to go through it again, but it's in Sor Zion. The Ezer Mikodesh deals with a case of Shema Brachos for Shalosh Shudis, where the kala isn't there at the beginning, and they don't eat until the food is prepared, which is actually after Shabbos is over. That's his case that he's discussing. And he says two things. Number one, he says that the Taz says you do Shema Brachos even if the Chasen and the kala don't eat, which others disagree with, but that's what he says. So therefore, Sheva Brachos were already warranted at the start of the meal, even though you didn't have your food actually present. It's not about the definition of Suhuda. Number two, he says, even if they're not present at the beginning of the meal, L'chasen and Mekala, we still say Sheva Brachos, because the start of everybody sitting down together is what counts. So the Ezer Mikodesh says, don't tell me about when the meal came and when they ate. It doesn't make a difference. The other piece that I saw is a piece you can get on the newest Bar Ilan CD has it. I don't know. Do they have Kitvei Eighth on the online Bar Ilan? The section with like articles?
Yeah.
I don't know if they have it on the online one. It's very weird on the CD. Like you can't cut and paste. It's like it's not. I don't know. But in any case, the Rav Gedalia, I hope I'm pronouncing his name properly. It's the Tvisig or Tauzig of Vizhnitz. In an article on Be'er HaChayim says, I don't know what they're all talking about when they try to disengage Sheva Brachos from Seuda. Yeah, Panim Chadashos notwithstanding, if you had Panim Chadashos but you had no Seuda, we wouldn't do Sheva Brachos. So he says, absolutely not. And he says, you say the Sheva Brachos. His argument is in favor of saying that.
So arguing that Sheva Brachos are part of the meal.
He's arguing Sheva Brachos are 100% part of the meal.
Just like that.
Even though, in their makor, in their source, which we're going to come back to in a few minutes, we're going to see that they don't actually require a meal for Sheva Brachos, right? At its source, no meal is required. He says, yeah, but that's not the way we do Sheva Brachos. We do Sheva Brachos only at a Seuda. Therefore, if your Seuda started by day, that's good enough.
Yeah, but is that from a perspective of Minhag or from a perspective of Halach?
Minhag, which is, because anybody who would dare to do Sheva Brachos without a meal would find himself hung out to dry.
Yeah, but is that a basis for making brachos? Like, isn't that still...
Well, it's a basis for not. Or in his case, a basis for yes, I suppose. I hear. It's an interesting point. And now we're using his kula to actually add brachos.
Yeah.
I hope you think. I have certainly seen respected Rabbanim, I mentioned this last time, allow Sheva Brachos for a meal that ran late after the seventh. I saw in Nitei Gavriel, he has a line, he's not dealing with this question, he's dealing with a separate question. What if your Panim Chadashos have to leave? So he talks about possibly making the Sheva Brachos during the meal, when everyone is still...
Not part of benching.
Well, yeah, but isn't there a time to do that with his Zimun as well, which is an initiation of the benching?
Correct. But a Zimun is not as shocking to us.
Yeah.
Maybe because we see it all the time.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was just wrapping up the topic that we had seen last time. New point. The status of the first meal for an alman almana. We said last week that where it's a second marriage for both the chasen and the kala, so there's only one day of Sheva Brachos. So what do you do if the chuppah was before Shkia? Right?
We're going to use base now?
We are going to... We're in Ches. We're in Ches.
It's a new topic?
Yeah, it's a new topic, this question that I'm now laying out, of the status of their meal. What do you do if their chuppah was before Shkia, but the meal is after Shkia? In other words, like what happened at the wedding a couple of Sundays ago. So your chuppah is held till 5 o'clock, and then... It runs till 5:45. Shkia is 5:50, 5:55. Everybody is out, pictures, whatever it is, and your meal doesn't start until 6:15. So, do they have Sheva Brachos at all? Or do we say, you know, they had their one day. Their one day was the Chuppah day.
This is sorry.
Yeah, even at their wedding meal.
This is no Sheva Brachos. They're both
all second marriage.
Both
correct.
Second marriage.
It's an interesting question, huh? And it comes up. So, the Gemara in Ksuvos that we saw last time, I brought here one line of it in Source Ches, the key line. Milsa Sikta Katani, this is when they were discussing how to parse the different statements about Sheva Brachos in order that they would fit with the Besula and the Almana and so on. But they say, Milsa Sikta Katani, the Leka Besula de Batsrami Shiva, the Leka Almana de Batsrami Omechod. Besula will always have at least 7 days, at least meaning no less than seven, not that she's going to have more, but no fewer than 7 days. And the Almana will have no fewer than 1 day. That was the Gemara's read. So the Chasam Sofer looks at this and says, why do I need the second half of that sentence? What was the point of saying the second half of the sentence? You already knew. Besula is always seven, therefore the other sources that talked about one are the Almana. So the Chasam Sofer is in source tests. He says, Resha, the word Resha I added in, I think, Resha Lashmi'inan Asa, Deleka Shum Besula de Batra Mishiva, Afilu Nichnas Nalachuba, Velo Nivala Venis Almana, Ve'asa Nises La Alma. He says, I needed the first half in order to teach me about the case in which you had a woman who was married before, but she's still a Besula. Right? She entered the chuppah and then the guy passed away. So so in such a case, she is now getting married. Now she's going to go marry a guy who has been married before. So do I view it as almon almana and she gets 1 day? Or do I view it as almon besula and she gets 7 days? That's the question. Nonetheless, sheva brachos for all 7 days. Kaven shehi besula. Because she's a Psulch Das Mori Vahafla Hanah, he quotes of Nassan Adler supporting that. Okay. And then he says, Veleka Amana de Batra Miyomecha, that was the Seifa. There's no such thing as an Amana who has fewer than 1 day. Afilu Amana Shekvar Nivala, Shanises La Almon Shekvar Boal. So, in other words, a full second marriage for both of them. They were with first spouses, there was Bia with the first spouses. The afilu hachi lo batzer miyom echad. Why do I need to say that? La fuke mimanda amar de'ein mevarchen rak tachas hachuppah v'lo al hasu'uda. Because there is a view that says you're just going to have sheva brachos under the chuppah. You're not going to have sheva brachos at the meal. And the case that he's talking about there, and I dot dot dotted it, but the case that he's talking about is where the meal is at night. He says, to reject the view that if the meal is at night and the chuppah is during the day, then there are no sheva brachos because that's day two. He says, even if the meal is at night, that is still going to be a sheva brachos meal.
How about the next day?
So I think that's it. I think it's just that night.
Meaning he's just giving the exception for the meal related to the wedding, not the next. You're not saying that we're starting the chuppah next day.
Correct. That's the Chasam Sofer's position. He's not turning day two into day one.
Regardless of Shkia, he's saying?
Regardless of the fact that there was Shkia in between. Correct. That meal is attached to the chuppah.
So you say it both.
You say it both. The Chalkas Machokik is not sure. The Chalkas Machokik is Samach Beis Vav. And he said he is not clear about when the Gemara says Yom HaKama, the first day, whether that means the first day or the first meal. And that goes back to the rush that we talked about last time also. You see also the Ezer Mekodesh has a discussion, the Pesachei Tshuva in Samach Beis Yud has a discussion. However...
Do you think this Chasam Sofer would disagree with the case we said about the Burglass wedding?
Well, you mean in terms of how to do the count?
Yeah.
No, because his whole point there is because it says there is no Almana who has less than 1 day. There, you're going to have 7 days. He's just making this one the first. He's not saying we're going to consider that 6 days. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's disagreeing with that. No.
Don't the sheva brachas like this? The simcha of the sheva brachas coming with a meal is just a facet of a larger simcha. I mean, there's also being mevatel from malacha, things like
That's a whole separate discussion. That was the idea here from last week. The simcha and sheva brachas are two different dinim. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you take a look at the Marma Komas from last week, you'll see Grach al Hashas is one take on it, and we had a separate take from the Bach. But we're not going to couple those two.
So right now he's saying because it has to be 1 day, so why does it mean you have to have a meal? Why can't the chuppah be the 1 day?
Right, but I think that's his statement is that the sheva brachos at the meal is what we're talking about when we say that she's getting.
It deserves 1 day. We don't take that away from her.
Yeah, even though it's one meal rather than 1 day. That's my understanding of the Chasam Sofer. There are numerous poskim who say we do say the sheva brachos at this meal aside from this Chasam Sofer. The Beis Shmuel in Samach Beis Hay quotes the Bedek Habayis. that you would the Taz in Samach Beis Gimel quotes the Maharal of Prague, which is really unusual to see him quoted in a halachic dispute like this. I went back and looked at it again and said, "Wait, you sure didn't say Maharil?" But no.
So Rav Schechter always says this.
Yeah.
Schechter always says it when the Maharal was living, he was a posek. Everyone thought he was a posek. Only after he died, then everyone made him to this Bel Machshava. She also was.
Yeah.
He was a real posek.
Right. Well, that's the problem when you create a golem. No one takes you seriously after that. All right. The Bittul Torah, he would not have created a golem. In Source Yud, take a look at the Taz. On the line that it's Biyom Rishon Levad for the Almon Almana. So he says, Lashon Maharal Mibrach, Bim Birchu Nisuin Biyom. The fan thing makes noise, right? Lashon Maharal Mibrach, Bim Birchu Nisuin Biyom, Levarchim Visuudagan Lechalaila. Okay. That's the Rush quote, which we saw last time. That if they made the bracha at the wedding during the day, they also made the bracha at the su'uda that night. The su'uda itself is called panam chadashos, and that relates to the question of whether you do panam chadashos at the meal, since you already did it at the chuppah. Ulefize, almana sheniseis biyom, ein mevarchim b'layla klal. So based on that, it would seem that the almana who got married by day will not have shavu brachos that night. Tikvar avar hayom v'lo shayach panam chadashos b'almana. Umikol makom, the Mesecha Sofrim, which is the source for all of this, for the whole idea of having these shavu brachos, I'm going to quote it below in Source Yud Gimel. I'm not 100% sure. I wrote here Mesecha Sofrim Mashma the Yom Kama the Kamar Hainu Af Baruchis, but our text in Mesecha Sofrim doesn't have the Yom Kama, so either I misquoted or misunderstanding what he's saying. But I don't think so. The Mesecha Sofrim Mashma the Yom Kama the Kamar Hainu Af Baruchis. He says the sound of things there is that Yom Kama day one includes even that night. The Isa Hasam, because here's the quote from there. Rabbi Zeinu Nagu Lomar Babokir Birkas Chasanim. I know what he's quoting. Okay, Rabbi Zeinu Nagu Lomar Babokir Birkas Chasanim Alkos Vepanim Chadashos Kol Shiva. Vechein Ba'arvis Kodem Hasu'uda Bevarchin Osa. He says, the practice is to say Birkas Chasanim in the morning, on a coast, if you have Panim Chadashos all Shiva, and also Ba'arvis Kodem Hasu'uda Bevarchin Osa, even that night before the meal. They're not doing Shevrachos at that stage as part of benching. So, Akarach Mashma, the Chol Shiva, the Varchin, Baboker, Uba Erev, Ba'afilu, Biyom Zayin. So he says, it seems to him that all 7 days you are going to do Shavu Brachos, morning and evening, evening following the morning. Not evening before the morning, but morning and then evening. Mashma, the Varchin, Al Balayla. According to which our whole question about what you do when your Shavu Brachos ends after Shkia is no longer existent, by the way. His point is, when you have Panam Chadashos gives you joy today and tonight. And therefore, the position of the Taz, quoting the Maharal, is that that where the wedding happened during the day, you're still going to do Shavu Brachos that night for the Almana. That's his point. Unlike the usual way of night being the night preceding the day, here it's night after the day. The Aruch HaShulchan also concludes that we say the bracha. I brought it in Sursi and Aleph, top of the second side.
Regarding our previous discussion, he's going to say that you can do it the night after.
Exactly.
Even Moses, even like Malka Malka?
It sounds like even if it started after Shkia. No? That's what it makes it sound. I mean, no one else says that, so I'm not recommending it. But that's what it sounds like. V'yesha mistakin, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, V'yesha mistakin ba'amon ala amon k'sha'achlup ha'isev b'yom v'as'uda ba'layla. Shalo yivarchu shava brachos, mipnei shekvar avar yom habracha. Right? That's our case. Almon almana, chuppah by day, meal by night, don't do shava brachos. That's what some are suggesting. Aval, however, Rabbeinu Abbas Yosef b'sifro berek habayis hichriya dimavarchin. De'elacha nisuin below shava brachos b'suda achas. It can't be. There's no such thing as not having shava brachos at any meal. Ve'ata sevik brachos lahakel, v'likomakum kemeduma shamena gulavarech. It's sort of along the lines of what we had said from the Chasam Sofer before. When we come up on the Chatchila, Nachma Mahader Ba'almon Ba'almon Ashachuba Vasuda Yubiyom Echad. Right? It would be good if you could avoid this problem. Why walk into a mess? That's his conclusion.
Do you think people follow that ladder? that it's good to avoid the mess?
I mean, yeah.
I don't know. It's a good question.
Generally speaking, working on timing and accounting for things and weddings sort of requires that the rabbi be on the ball about it. And if he's not used to almon almona situations, he may not think twice.
Right.
That's, yeah. I mean, the bigger issue that unfortunately people aren't careful about is the wedding at this time of year issue.
Yeah.
What date is in the ksuba?
The probably is not such a big deal.
Yeah, in a chanami, it can be dealt with. It's not the end of the world, but you should try to avoid this kind of a problem. Either time it all to be before, so your chassan's tish and your chuppah are all before Shkia, or your chassan's tish and your chuppah are after Shkia. One of the first weddings I did, it was not. Because I was young and I didn't think about it. And I showed up and then we had a problem. But the...
I say deal with it, you don't really do anything. You just rely on the...
Yeah, no,
it's fine, right?
Yeah, in a chanami. The last case I wanted to deal with before we get into defining panim chadashos is the classic case. It happens all the time because people get married on Sundays, where your Sheva Brachos ends on Shabbos, and you're eating Shalashuddas and having a Sheva Brachos at your Shalashuddas, and Shalashuddas ends after Shabbos is over. So the question is, how do you handle drinking from Sheva Brachos?
Why is it only a problem if it ends then?
Because it's even worse, you're now mixing two problems. One problem is the problem of whether you have Sheva Brachos when the meal ends after the
right.
7 days. And then your separate problem is that that you shouldn't be drinking necessarily the cup from benching at any Shalashuddas.
Right, that applies everything. That applies any time you...
Except that now you have a cup that potentially isn't even associated with benching. Right? This isn't the same as the cup of benching, because we've spent quite a bit of time saying that Sheva Brachos may not be considered a part of benching.
So, or we never drink that. So that would make it better or worse?
Worse.
Why would it make it worse? We never drink the cup for benching. So if this isn't associated with benching, why would it be worse?
Because there's a solid argument to say you do drink the cup for benching, even though
nobody does.
Right. I don't know if nobody does. We don't.
Okay,
I would not be shocked if I walked into a shul where they did.
What's the point of holding a cup on just for regular shoshus that we don't see the bracha on it anyway? What's the point of holding the cup?
So it's important to remember that the reason why there is a kos for Birkas Hamazon is, in general, in order to honor the bracha of benching, you don't need to drink it in order to accomplish that. You don't need to make a bar priagafen. It's just the fact that there is wine there with it. It's just odd if we then don't drink. But really, you have accomplished your goal of honoring benching by having a cup of wine held during benching. Like we do it for all sorts of mitzvahs. Yeah.
If you have a cup of wine on your table and use it every day for like the whole year?
Hypothetically. It'll be vinegar by the second week. Yeah. Okay. So that's the question. And Rav Moshe has the classic tshuva on this topic. He says, let's talk about, generally speaking, the drinking mitzvah Shabbos, forget Sheva Brachos, and why one would or would not drink. He says, V'yesh chiluk betam heter hashisia. He says, there are two different reasons to drink. The delafi echad, shumitzad shuchova mamash. There's one view that says the reason why we have a cup of wine at Birkas Hamazon altogether is because there's an obligation to do so. There's a view that says it's a chiyuv. Benching requires a kos. V'av kasha asau l'chova machmas shemachmir k'manda amr shu chova shayuch lomar d'nechshem mechlal ha'seuda k'dekas ha'machas ha'shekel. He says, and even if you personally aren't buying into the idea that it's chova, but you're going to follow that practice, still, it makes it part of benching. Fundamentally, if you say it's a chiyuv, you view this as part of Birkas Hamazon. That's one view. The other view, Uverish base, dim nizar kol hashana b'shvil hamitzvah lehidur habracha, right, that it's a nice thing to do, lo mistaber sheyis chashiv michlal hasuda, then it's not going to be considered part of the meal, ela sheheterhu shelo asru b'shvil havdala hashasiya she'enu letzarcho, ela chvod habracha, mishum shevelo shasiya ein zenechshav k'mivarech al hakos, v'nistalege hidur b'kabar habracha. He says, the other view is, we just do this in order to honor benching. If so, the cup of wine is not part of the seuda. If so, what would be my heter to drink at all? The heter to drink would be that when they said no drinking after shkia, they only meant
halal, right? They only meant drinking that you do for your enjoyment. However, if the drinking that you're doing is not for your own enjoyment, the drinking that you're doing is to honor the bracha, that's not a problem.
If it's not shkia, is it possible to have your third meal before shkia and still and say the bracha?
Yeah,
is it,
okay. Yeah, then everybody's happy. Absolutely. It just requires that I meant earlier. That's the... But yes. So he says there are two different justifications for a person to drink in general. One justification is, I believe that the kos is part of benching, and therefore it's tied to the se'uda, and therefore I'm allowed to drink. Or, number two, because I'm drinking for the honor of the bracha, not drinking for its own sake, for my own sake, therefore it's okay. And then Rav Moshe says, umela ika chiluk ledina. This is there are practical distinctions to be drawn. To the parish rishon shu michlal hasuuda, according to the view that it's part of the meal, yecholim kol hamesubin shenisku lebirkas hamazon lishko. So anybody who is benching can drink, right? Because it's tied to their meal. Kevin sheikah mitzvah kol echav ve'echav litom mikoshel bracha afshe enu ma'akev havik shetomen kfi a mitzvah shaleim gamkin michlal hasuuda v'lo yahayu ne'esarin. Granted, it's not a requirement for them to drink from the kosher bracha, but it's part of their se'uda, and if they choose to, they can. Again, nothing to do with Sheva Brachas, just benching at Shalashetis. Ulipirusheni, Duhu Mishum de Below Hashasiya Nivdal Hashivus Bracha Alakos. According to the second approach, though, that it's because if you don't drink, then the bracha on the coast has lost something. Shalachain Ainze Shasiya Tsarcha Wala Shasiya de Chavara Bracha, and therefore drinking is justified because it's in honor of the bracha, not what you're doing for your own sake. So he says, "Ein lahatir ela shasias echad, mishum shebazen nechshav kvar bracha lakos." Because then you only need one person to drink. Now he has fulfilled honoring the cup by having somebody drink. It's not for everybody to do so. V'mitzdarfen shnayim lekshir hashasiya dehum lo lomav yuchlukam shnayim lishtos ben shnayim kashir, or maybe you have multiple people to reach a shir. So the shir has to be drunk. Fine. Al Bashara Mesubin, but everybody else there, Ashika mitzvah lishtas mikoshal bracha yiyu asurin. Meahad achar shasiya sashir hu shasiya de tzarach atzma. Once you've had the shir, now you drink it for yourself. That's not allowed. Dashu shasiya de mitzvah ein lahatir kodem abdallah. That will not allow before abdallah. That's what Moshe says. So therefore, he says, let's apply this to Sheva Brachos. He says, according to the first view, that you're doing this as your chiyuv, right? I'm obligated to do this, to have this kosher bracha. There's a mitzvah for everybody to drink. So everybody can drink from the Sheva Brachos after the meal. However, if I take the second view, then only the shir can be consumed. Now, the Rav Moshe says to Machmir Misafik. He says that you should be strict. And therefore, Moshe Paskins, that only the chasen and the kala drink at Shalashudas, because the cup is coming because of them. That's what Moshe
says. But are they only allowed to drink a shir?
Ostensibly. Frankly, it's rare they drink a shir anyway. But we have to tell them to drink a shir.
Right.
But yes. It's their kos. So he wants only the chasen and kala to drink in such a circumstance. Don't pass it around to everybody and so on.
Could no one drink?
No, because then you've lost the honor of the bracha. I mean, theoretically, you can, like I had said before, but Moshe says there is such an imperative of honoring the bracha by having somebody drink.
He's saying that every week also, no?
Yes. But he's applying it to
Shabbat. So Moshe surely drank the kos every week? Cause that sounds
so, you know, it really does sound like that, doesn't it?
I mean, or is just saying there's...
Unless you're going to say, we're not going to follow the view that there is a chiyuv at all. In other words, I do it as a nice thing to do.
Is this true about really about Sheva Brachos or really about the kos?
So it's written about Sheva Brachos, but you're right that he's addressing the kos in general as part of it.
They could say we're only going to land this for Sheva Brachos, because you'd have only Shesh Brachos, if you don't say that.
There's something to be said for that, yeah.
And is there an accepted practice what to do with Sheva Brachos? Is Shabbos the middle of the week?
Shabbos is never the middle of the week.
Shabbat.
I'm pretty sure of that. Oh, okay, I'm slow. The Shabbat is in the middle of the week of Sheva Bracha, so I don't know if there's a universal practice, but I've seen it done, the Chassid and the Kala drink.
Just the Chassid and Kala?
Yeah. That's what I've seen, but I haven't seen that many cases. with the survey. Okay. On to new topic, Panim Chadashos and defining Panim Chadashos. So here, there's a lot to discuss. Women as Panim Chadashos. Who qualifies? What if the Panim Chadashos were at the chuppah but they didn't eat at the wedding? Do they have to eat at the Seuda? They have to eat bread at this, and so on. There's all sorts of stuff to talk about. So we're going to start on Panim Chadashos, but I think it's going to take us a couple more weeks to get through it. But we begin with Source Yud Gimel, which is Masechta Sot from Yud Tes Yud, or in some editions Yud Aleph. V'noagu Rabosenu Lomar Rabokir Birkas Chasana Malakos Ba'asara U'Panim Chadashos Kol Sheva V'chein Ba'erev Kodem Suda. Right, we saw this quoted before, but now we're seeing it in Sofer proper. And that's where we saw morning is listed before evening meaning the one that's after the morning, fine. But he says, if you have Panim Chadashos, call Shiva. The Gemara in Ksuva, Source Yudalit, Tana Rabbanan, Mevarach, Birchas Hasan, Basara, call Shiva, and Amar Behuda, Vahu, Shabbat, Panim Chadashos. This assumes that you have Panim Chadashos. If you don't have Panim Chadashos, then you're not going to do it. So there are two different views as to what exactly this means when we say you have Panim Chadashos, therefore you're going to recite this. One view is that the reason why you're saying Shabbat Brachas for Panim Chadashos is because of our reaction to them. We feel differently, therefore we're going to do Shabbat Brachas. The other view, and obviously we have to go through each of these.
We as the Chasam and Kala?
And the Mesubim. We're going to talk about that. One of the great questions that gets asked is when you're having Shabbat Brachas that your parents arrange, and so there's Panim Chadashos, but it's a friend of theirs who you don't know and don't care about at all, so they don't bring you any simcha. Do you do Shabbat Brachas? So we have to talk about
it. Somebody knocks on your door asking you to come over.
So actually, there's also if a Meshulach comes to your door, does he count as Panim Chadashos? Like, there's a lot to talk about.
I'd be happy to see them.
Yes, well, that's it. You're supposed to be. But in any case, the first view is that it's about our reaction to them and who our are we have to talk about. The second view is that it's about the obligation of the Panim Chadashos people. They partake in a Suda and a Beis Hasanim. They have to have Sheva Brachos. So that's those are two different takes.
What does that mean? Why would they?
So we'll get to it. God willing. I'm just spelling out the structure of where we're going. The first view is that it's about our reaction to them. There must be some kind of an increase in something on our part because they are present. Now, what is it that we are increasing? So the problem starts with Tosfos. Take a look at Source Tesvav. It's Tosfos and Ksuvos. V'hu shabao panam chadashos omer ri. The Panim Chadashos ain kori ela b'bnei adam shemarvim b'shvilam hasimcha yoser. So the Ri says Panim Chadashos means people for whom they are marve the simcha. Right? Mishnechas adar marve the simcha. I have to put up a sign next week. I have the signs from the YU Base Matters. So B'li Nedar, I'll remember on Monday. But it has to be people who cause you to be happier, whoever you are. V'shavas tachashvin and panim chadashos. Damin and ba'agada mizmor shir le'mashavas. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu panim chadashos ba'u lekan. Right, the classic medrash. Therefore, no mar shira. Hasamnami marbin lechvod hashavas b'simcha u'b'seuda. Even though there is no mitzvah of simcha for Shabbos, mitzvah Shabbos is oneg, not simcha. Fine. Nonetheless, we add b'simcha, and then he throws in a word, u'b'seuda. It's not enough that a mar b'simcha. Is that also Marbe Se'uda? They're actually going to add food for them. So what did he throw in this last word for? Until then, I would have said, Panim Chadashos means people whose presence makes the participants, whoever the participants are, happy. But now he threw in this business of Se'uda too. That makes it less clear. The Ran on this Gemara, it's Makor Tet Zayin, says, V'ushabo ala mishta panim chadashos b'chol yom shalo hayusham esmol, people who weren't there previously, v'aramban kasav d'chol sheva panim chadashos v'omeid sham avo pishenu ochal sham mivarchan sheva brachos, he doesn't need to eat v'kasav v'shem rabbeinu tamzal v'ay panim chadashos hanu shesmeichim ala b'nei achupa, end of quote. Nothing about Se'uda. The Ran just says, simcha, finished. However, look at the Mordechai in Yudayim. V'hu shebo panim chadashos, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, panim chadashos karei adam chashuv shehu kibod hachasan v'derech lahar bos bishvilo. He says, Panam Chadashos is an important person which provides honor for the Chasan, and it is normal to increase for him. What does it sound like they are increasing when he says, V'derech laharbos bishvilo? Really?
Food.
Doesn't sound like simcha. What do you, derech laharbos? It doesn't make any sense. And the Bach says, of course the Mordechai means seuda. What do you do when you get to the Shulchan Aruch? Let's take a look at Sos Yud Ches. Yesh omrim shedem nikram panam chadashos elem ken him bnei adam shem marbim bishvilam. So, what does that mean? If I go with the Bach's read of the Mordechai, it means food. Right? So what do I do with this? So there is strong reason.
What's enough for me? Whether they have to eat or not?
Well, do they have to eat would be one. But also, we talk about in other contexts, people for whom you may be happy about, but you don't normally add to your meal because of them. So for example, you have the discussion in Chos Yom Tov, right, about not cooking for a non-Jew on Shabbos. What if it's somebody, though, who works in your household? So you don't really add for them. You don't add to your meal on their behalf. It's not like it's an honored guest showing up. So maybe you can start to make an argument there. If you go back to our discussions about Hefzeh Meruba, and Hefzeh Meruba in the event that there are Orchim coming, so we made a distinction there between Orchim for whom you feel bad, like you're embarrassed if you don't have nice stuff for them, and then Orchim who you know from around town who you're not going to add for anyway. So that's another case in which we talk about would you add or would you not add. What about the following situation? You have your meal set up. You did your Sheva Brachos, and you invited everybody, right? And you forgot to invite Panam Chadashos. And everybody's sitting there, and they realize, oh, wait, we need Panam Chadashos. Okay, let's call the guy down the hall. But you didn't marbet.
That's what happened with us.
No one added anything. So what are you going to do? So there is strong reason within the poskim to accept guests who would increase joy, which would hypothetically increase food, even if, in fact, we didn't add any food for them. Nonetheless, we're good with it.
Was the guest always, by definition, going to increase joy? We're going to get into that question.
We're going to get into that. Not this week. We're not going to get that far.
And a planned guest is also definitionally going to increase food. No? Unless it's like last minute.
Yeah, and also, we're not usually...
No, because sometimes you say, yeah, I have a big pot of food, and you know, I'm not talking about like where you have chicken, you have an individual drumstick per person, right? I'm talking about where you just have, in general, you know, here's a salad, here's a kugel, here's a whatever it is. I don't think I need to add another kugel for this person.
No,
this person,
if you know they're coming, you know you're making for 15 or 14. Tachlis, is it more or less?
See, I'll tell you something. I want to go back to what Ethan was going to say also, but I have a feeling that we're not looking at this in terms of 14 versus 15. We're looking at it as you add dishes because there's a respected person coming in. This isn't nice for them. They need to have more. You know, if I'm making a meal for my family, so I have a main, I have a side, yeah, and there's bread. You know, there are guests. No, now we need to have another side dish. You know, I think it's more about the kavod than the sufficiency of the food.
Right, but that's very machmir standard.
Okay,
and also
I'm good for that.
And also the problem is here. Most of the time, you're talking about there's already guests.
Correct.
So now it's like, unless the Panam Chadashos is like, you know, of England, then you're already making fancies.
Correct. Yes. That's what makes this very difficult in a Hanami.
So to be the most, the most machmir standard, you have to make mamash like.
That makes things more difficult in a Hanami. It's true.
You find the king for your Panam Chadashos.
Yes. Eitan, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to ask the same question.
Yeah. So if you take a look at the Beis Shmuel, the Haggaz Machokeg also in some Beis Yigimel, but Beis Shmuel, I brought you here some Beis Yud. We quote the Bach, bless you, to say, even if I didn't in practice add, it's still good enough. Shemarben Bishvilam, he says, Kasav Bach, Afilam Achshav Einam Marben Bishvilam, Elohim Re'uyim Laharbos Bishvilam. And that could really address your question. I'm adding anyway for the other guests. So he says, it doesn't mean that I'm actually going to say, oh, this guy is showing up. He hasn't been here all week long. For sure, I'm going to add food for him. That's not what we mean. We mean the type of person who, if he was going to show up at your table, you would want to add. Assuming you didn't have 20 other people for whom you were adding already. The Havi Panam Chadashos. Behind Ladasa Poskim, the Sphira Lahu, Panam Chadashos, Heim Sha'ochlim Sham. Aval Haran, Shevi Bahaga, which we haven't seen yet. According to the Ran, it was going to be quoted in the Ramah, they don't actually even need to eat. The Ramah says in Samach Beis Zion that and I didn't bring it here. I think I'm going to bring it later. But the Ramah's position is, yeah. If you jump down to Chav Zion for a second, he's quoting the Ram there. He says, "V'yesh omrim v'mahayu sham panam chadashos af pishen ochlim sham mevarach b'shvilam." Right? Even if the panam chadashos don't eat, so clearly it isn't that I actually have to add food. It's the type of person, if they showed up, ordinarily, I would want to increase food for them. That's the idea.
And if they were crashing your Shabbos table last minute, you'd be like, oh, shoot, should have made something extra.
Yes. So this is all within the view that it's about our reaction to them. And what we've established is that there are two different types of marbeh. There's marbeh simcha, and there's marbeh food. I like the sort of unified approach, that it's marbeh simcha such that we would be marbeh food for them, assuming the marbeh food was needed and I didn't already have a full table of stuff. But the other view, which is brought in the Aruch HaShulchan, is that it's not about them increasing our simcha, it's about their obligation. If you take a look back at, where did I put this Aruch HaShulchan? You know what? You have to see Chav first. He uses this to explain the Rambam. So take a look at Chav first, please. The Rambam writes, "Hachas brachas beis yud. Bracha zushim masifim bebeis hasanim. He bracha achronim yishava bracha shel nisuin." Okay, the bracha that you say is the last bracha of the Sheva, meaning saying Asher Bara, assuming you don't have your panim chadashos. The b'med v'ram amurim, kishayu ha'ochlin heim sha'amdu birkas ha'nisuin. If you're talking about having only people who are already there before the chuppah, v'shamu ha'brachas, avalam hayu ha'ochlin achem shalashamu birkas nisuin b'sh'as nisuin, then mevarchim b'shvilam achar birkas ha'mazam sheva brachas, kedel shem mevarchim b'sh'as nisuin. Okay, you need 10. Chasanim count. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, looking at this Rambam, where the Rambam wrote Mevarchin Bishvilam, right? Achar Birkas Hamazon. So the way he says it is Bishvilam means really Bishvilam. The view of the Rambam is that it's not for your sake; it's for their sake. Kahu ikar ha'inyan da ladas ha'rambam sal. Dihine, brachos Elohim levarich es hazuk sheyatzlicha. That's the point of these brachos. Even though the brachos don't say anything about their hatzlacha, they say about Rambam. But nonetheless, the brachos are to wish them hatzlacha. Ubederech agav nosdim bracha lechvod ha'am ha'nesachim la'askaras korban Yerushalayim. Then we throw in these other things. V'achiyuv hazeh mutol kol ish miYisrael kishava lehenos lebeis chasunas hazug levarcham v'zman simchasam v'shivis yimei ha'mishnah. He says the chiyuv is for anybody who's going to come to their house during the shivis yimei ha'mishnah. V'ha'echad v'hamivarech v'achirim shomin v'onin amein hava ki'ilu kol ha'omdim berku v'zachasin v'akala. When they answer amein, it's as though they gave this bracha to the chasin and kala. V'kevin shebirchum pamachas, once they do this bracha for them once, they finish their obligation. V'lachin, kishayesh panam chadasha shalosh shamu adayin abrachas, v'ray lo birchu adayin es hazog, m'chuyavim levarcham. V'lachin, omeid ha'mevarech umevarcham, v'heim shomim v'onin omeid, v'yotzi yidei chavasam. That actually, now I wonder. Alright, hypothetical troublemaker question. According to the view that I certainly learned and makes sense to me, you cannot fulfill your bracha for something by hearing it over a microphone. Because you are hearing the microphone, you are not hearing the speaker. Yes, there are kulos, yes, there are heterim, but that's Ramel Shachter, I heard it from him originally, and it makes a lot of sense, right? You understand what I'm saying?
Like, it's not really a voice.
It's not a voice. It's a machine replicating a voice. That's why many tell me them from why you will have to practice, that they will shove away the microphone to make sure that during the harayat, the harayat is heard directly and not via the mic.
Heard by who?
By the kallah. Well, and by the aiden.
Well, she hears both, because she's probably still going to hear his regular voice if she's standing right there.
So yeah, I'm not posseling anybody's kiddushin. That's not my point. My question is this. Assuming it's a chiyuv for all those people who are standing there, that they have to issue such a bracha, and they're supposed to be answering amen, and that's how they're issuing their bracha. But they're not, because they're not actually they're not hearing the bracha. Their amen isn't a real amen because they didn't hear the bracha. They heard the microphone say the bracha. They didn't hear the person say the bracha. So maybe they count as panim chadashos. Just being a troublemaker. It's not lahakel. The Vilachain, in any case, I'm sorry, so he says, Vizeshakasav HaRambam Mevarchin Bishvilam, when the Rambam writes, we are making the bracha for them, Klomar Mevarchin Bishvilam Kadesha Yetzu Yudecha Vasim Levarich HaSachasin Vesakal. That's the point, that you are doing it in order that they should complete their obligation. Vafilum Yesh Echa Shloshamam Mevarchin Bishvilam, even if you just have one person. By the way, he says one person is needed. We'll have to talk about how many you need for Panim Chadashos, but that's the Aruch HaShulchan stance. This is the second view. Now, this goes in against the whole idea of Marbin Bishvilam that we talked about before. Right. It has nothing to do with my reaction to them. Yeah. It's their obligation. That's all.
And does he think of Shabbos differently then?
Does he think of Shabbos differently in the sense that...
In the sense of whether or not it should count for Shabbos. Right?
Whether Shabbos should count, because we're not being Marvin Simcha Sehuda the way Tosfos wrote.
Yeah.
Ostensibly, I think, yeah. I think he would say the Rambam would not accept Shabbos as one of Chadashos. Yeah. I think he would have to say that. That's okay. The Rambam would disagree. Because the whole idea of accepting Shabbos as counting as Panim Chadashos is based on what Tosfos says, that you'll be adding Simcha and Sehuda for them.
What do you mean Shabbos?
The idea that on Shabbos I don't need to get somebody for Panim Chadashos. If it's on Shabbos, that already counts. That was what we saw in Tosfos. So
why would that be true?
Go back to which one was it? Where was this Tosfos? Yeah, the end of Tosfos Tesvav. The whole second part there. Shabbos to Chashvin and Panim Chadashos, etc. Yeah. So, but according to this, that makes no sense.
You can bring more food on Shabbos, it just might not be hot.
No, that's not the point. The point is, that only fits if the reason why I do Sheva Brachos is because we are adding Simcha and Seuda. If the reason I'm doing Sheva Brachos is because there are new participants who are obligated to give them a Bracha, then I need people. Saying it's Shabbos doesn't change that. I want to make sure to get through a key point here. So practical ramification of the two views, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, is counting someone for Panim Chadashos if they were at the Chuppah, but they didn't eat at the meal. Right? They came to the wedding only for the Chuppah. So we react to them with joy now, because now they're here to participate. But they already took care of their bracha obligation by answering at the Chuppah, assuming that you can answer the microphone. So you're going to end up with an interesting distinction of views. The Rambam, according to the Rambam, who says it's about their chiyuv to bless the chazan and kala, anyone who is at the chuppah doesn't qualify for panim chadashos. However, if I take the other view, which I think is the mainstream view, that it's about us having simcha and being marve besuda b'shvilam, in that case, we can count people who were at the chuppah and just didn't stay after the chuppah.
Why? What? Meaning you saw them. If you saw the chuppah, weren't you happy then? I mean, why do you have to be there at the meal in order to be marvei b'shvilam? You already saw them as part of the wedding.
Right. So the Shevet Halevi says what Josh says. The Shevet Halevi, Ches Reish Pei, disagrees with Aruch HaShulchan's analysis. And he says the Rambam is going to agree that it's about increasing the joy in the Seuda. The Rambam simply believes that seeing someone who participated in the chuppah but didn't eat does bring new joy. So yes, you're on the same page as Rav Wozner. That's the position of Shevet Halevi. The Nitei Gavriel, I brought it for you on Source Chav Beis, says in practice being at the chuppah but not eating does not cancel your eligibility. He says you're still eligible as Panim Chadashos if you're at the chuppah and you don't eat. He says, "Mayim b'nas chuppah b'shavah b'rikas hanisuin, avalo ishtatev b'nisuin, yesh omer d'chashuv k'panim chadashos b'achas misur shivas imeim b'shtu, v'yesh omer d'lo chashuv k'panim chadashos, kevin shahaya b'shas al-chuppah, v'aminak l'hakel, v'ein tzarech l'hadir ligro l'mishlo shama klal abrachos." That would be it. Now, within the view that's going to be strict, what if you were at the meal but you didn't eat? Right, and most of the weddings that I go to, so I'll be there for the first dance, and and maybe I'll have fruits and vegetables, but I'm not going to have mezonos because I don't want to get into the problem of having to stay all the way to Sheva Brachos. So, do I count as Panim Chadashos? On the one hand, I didn't eat at the meal. What I did eat, I ate a little bit. So we have to talk about what happens if you ate a little bit. We'll get to that next week. There's more to say.
The Sheva lady says the Rambam would agree with the first Shita. Even that's really about being Marveh. Just that he says seeing someone who didn't eat the Suda but was at the Chuppah, that does bring joy or doesn't bring joy?
Sorry, say this again.
The Shevet Levi says the Rambam would agree with.